WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It is a Sunday night, and you know what that means is another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, twitch.tv/WTRLive, wildtalkradio.com. If you have that Amazon Prime thing, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel. Click the purple rectangular button below the screen. Do the thing. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Oh, wow, with Keishi not here, I get to be first. Yay!
Yeah, Keishi's on a plane. So, you get introduced first.
I'm special.
In many ways.
That's what my mother tells me.
In many, many ways. Some of your comments. Anyway.
Hey, last night that comment was golden. And no one will know it except for who was on that call.
Golden is a phrase. Not exactly sure. Anyway, we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I hope you can all hear me. I'm on a different computer than I was on 2 weeks ago.
That's why Tim wasn't here. He blew up his computer.
I fried my power source on my computer.
He made it a brick.
I bricked it, baby.
Which is why I told people to send you pictures of bricks.
I had that one figured out. At least one did.
Yeah. This was during CB Radio, Lindsay, when Brent made comments.
Lindsay, I'll tell you after. You're going to be horrified.
Very. Anyway, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have SummerSlam. That has to be talked about because, you know, it is the biggest party of the summer, and, well, it's next Saturday, or this Saturday, I should say, live on the WWE Network and Peacock here in the United States.
Summerfest!
We're still doing Summerfest jokes?
I don't know.
Which means we're going to be playing Pick'em later in the show, because interactivity and stuff like that.
Pick me!
I mean, all we're covering tonight is SummerSlam, right, Rock?
Yeah, I don't think anything else really happened in the world. I'm trying to think.
I mean, there was Death Before Dishonor last night, but that can be covered elsewhere. I don't know. Did anything else happen?
I think something happened.
Wait, something happened?
Oh yeah. The Toronto Blue Jays blew the Boston Red Sox out of the water 28-5 on Friday.
I mean, who isn't blowing the Boston Red Sox out of the water this season?
But New York Yankees. Anyway.
Do we really? We don't talk about baseball here, Tim.
the Yankees are up at least 12 games on them. So
we don't we don't care about the Yankees. No one cares about the Yankees.
I do.
Well, I know one person that would disagree, but he doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so
I
if
care.
It's not if it's not that, it must be the biggest blockbuster trade in NHL history in over 24 years that took place on Friday.
Tim.
What?
It's fucking July. No one gives a shit about hockey.
That's not true. You got a lot of Canadians listening who care.
It's July. Go touch grass.
But it was huge.
Rock, if they're hockey fans, do they ever touch grass?
Go touch ice, just or something.
In the summer, in the summertime up in Canada, we play street hockey.
Go touch grass.
Yeah, sometimes. But usually that means it's out of bounds.
No, we're not talking about fucking hockey. It's July.
No chance, son. That's what you got.
Fire and ice.
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And thanks for joining us on Fire on Ice. Yes, that's right. The biggest hockey trade in over two decades took place Friday night when Matthew Tkachuk was traded to Florida for a bunch of guys.
You've been listening to Fire on Ice, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.
wildtalkradio.com.
Film at 11.
And that's our show.
Thanks for watching.
That was the hockey show.
Talking about hockey.
No. There's no chance, son. That's what you got.
I think we've beaten this horse dead enough.
Have we? You sure? You sure about that one?
I think it's time to retire this bit and talk about what happened.
Retire the bit. Well, yeah, that's quite a bit to retire.
So on Friday, WWE sent out a press release stating that Triple H, Paul Levesque, is once again the executive in charge of talent relations.
Executive vice president of talent relations.
Executive vice president of talent relations. He's regained his role in the company, and yep, that was the big news on Friday.
No. That was the sidelight to the big news.
That was what everyone thought the big news was, because everyone was excited about that. Like, oh, Hunter's back. Cool. Things are going to be in motion now. That's cool.
NXT will be watchable again after August.
Hunter's not running NXT. That's Sean. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Just letting anyone else know. But then 4:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, another press release was sent out that Vincent Kennedy McMahon has retired.
And that is when hell froze over for many of us.
It's weird.
Yeah. Holy cow. There is, I have not seen anything as polarizing on social media in quite a long time. He's announced on Twitter and Facebook and everything that he's stepping away from the business. And immediately, wrestling fans divided themselves into two camps, hardcore big time, over this.
That is one way to put it.
Yeah.
Half of them were spewing venom and vitriol, saying, good riddance, don't let the door hit you in the ass. Yeah, pissed off. You screwed up professional wrestling. You did more damage than anybody else could have combined. Blah 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 blah. And you know, people are calling him other unflattering names.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you
hold on. Stay classy, those. Just saying, stay classy.
Yeah, just saying, stay classy. I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to list the things he was being called.
I'm just saying, there's a bunch of things that he's being called. I have a bunch of them on my Facebook comments.
Yes, I know. The other camp is people who are extremely over the moon with praise for what Vince has done to sports, or for, not to, but for sports entertainment, and thanking him for everything, blah blah blah, blahdy blah blah. And then there are people like me looking at both sides of the argument.
You can look at both sides of the argument. Great.
He brought pro wrestling into the mainstream.
He did.
Yeah.
He didn't do it by himself, but he spearheaded it.
Well, here's the thing: when events like this happen, you have the people that are going to latch on to one side of it and very much drive that point home. In this case, there has been some recent news that broke about the individual in question, and they're wanting to use that and use some other things to color the way that this story is. Truth be told, I'm very much like Tim, where there is multiple interpretations for this person's career.
Oh, don't get me wrong. On one side of the coin, he's an absolute asshole scumbag. On the other side of the coin, he's an absolute genius, or was an absolute genius, has been genius in what has been accomplished in the world of professional wrestling.
He took what was territories, individual territories, and created a nationwide, enterprise is the best way I can describe it.
Worldwide enterprise.
A worldwide enterprise.
He killed the territories in order to take it global.
And thrust it into pop culture in a way that no one else really had been able to. Yes, you may have had some, wrestlers shown on, movies or television or anything beforehand, but it didn't permeate the widespread pop culture until Vince McMahon.
And pro wrestlers were stereotyped as big, dumb lummoxes. If you know what the word lummox means, Google it.
But he brought it forward. He brought it to the mainstream. He made it no longer essentially taboo to be a wrestling fan. And that says something. Now, again, could some of those business dealings, as Tim put it, killed the territories and, had a widespread effect? Yes. But at the same time, it gave you what a lot of us enjoy today. Now, that being said, could some decisions that he's made within the past maybe 10 years be not what everyone wanted? Sure. I think we all have had a moment on this show where we're like, I don't know if I quite agree with this, or, I might have gone another way. That happens with everything.
Yeah.
No company is blameless. We learned that a little bit earlier today as well, if you want to put down the rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, things in the ring of Elite are not the greatest.
But like I said, there's been questions that you can raise about decisions, and that's fine, and you can absolutely do that. But also, don't blindly go in and just like, this guy is the devil incarnate, screw him and everything he stands for, when, as I said, there's a lot of other things that he did that should be kept in mind as well. It doesn't overwrite everything, but it just needs to be viewed as a whole.
Yeah, I'm just going to interject on something said a little bit earlier. You're saying that even on this show, on this webcast, we've questioned some of his motives and writing and decisions, blah, blah, blah. The other thing Vince did with professional wrestling, which ties into making it mainstream, he stopped catering to the hardcore fan, which basically evolved as the internet evolved into the internet wrestling community. He stopped catering to those people and started catering to the casual fan. And a lot of the stuff that has happened in WWE in the last 25, 30 years has happened to put butts in seats that never would have been there had the territory still existed, had he not done what he did.
He created pop culture icons. Think about it.
Hogan. Austin. Dwayne.
Dwayne.
The reason why Hogan burst through, one of the reasons was because he had a minor part in Rocky III.
Yeah.
So Hogan is a slight
exception
to this. You named Dwayne for one perfect example.
The biggest movie star in the world has his hands in everything.
I would say he also created one of the biggest pop culture icons in the late 90s, early 2000s in Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Because, let's put it this way, if it weren't for Vince McMahon, Steve would have been a mid-carder at best in either WCW or ECW and never would have reached the limits that we got. Hell, he created the freaking Undertaker when that guy couldn't get on or could barely get on TV in WCW.
Eggman. Yep.
At the same time, you're saying WCW like they were any actually good at figuring shit out. The fact that they didn't know what to do with Mark Calloway or Steve Williams or Bret Hart does not put them on the same level as WWF / WWE.
I like how in that combination we threw Bret Hart in. Anyway,
Bret Hart is the biggest failure of WCW, and I'm not saying that as a Canadian, as a Calgarian, as a Bret Hart mark, or any of that other bullshit. Never mind that I know half the Hart family. That's got nothing to do with it in this situation.
But
of course you wouldn't say that. Anyway, that all being beside the point, he put a stranglehold on local wrestling. More so than in the United States, of course, naturally, than in Western Canada or even Mexico. However, Canada and Mexico still felt the effects of it. He bought, for example, Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary for $2 million, but then he reneged on the deal. And all that did was temporarily drive Stampede Wrestling out of business.
Trying to figure out, like, when did this show become a thing, Tim? 2004. Right?
What, this little show. Webcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it I gave birth to the concept on the website in like February of 2004, and we went live for the first time in April.
2004, okay.
If I remember correctly.
We've been friends for about, I don't know, a couple of years after that. Why? Yeah. Why? Because
of... You used to come in and hang out in the chat room, and I started yapping with you.
Yeah, and we've been friends because of WWE, a Vince McMahon creation. Shocker. None of this exists without Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Friendships for a lifetime. Not just here, but all around the world. People create friendships because
and we wouldn't WWE. Be able to we wouldn't be able to pick on Brent without Vince.
Sometimes I wonder why.
Brock, last night is already over and done with, okay? It's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new life.
There are moments. Anyway.
But no, like, everyone on this network got brought together by Vince, whether they want to admit it or not.
I'm going to preface that by saying indirectly.
Yeah, indirectly.
Indirect.
Like in Calgary here, I was involved in the local wrestling scene. Like even before I did that other webcast before Wrestle Talk Radio.
When you were just a voice and now anyway.
When I was just one of the voices of wrestling. Yeah. I was just a wrestling voice.
Oh my God. That's old. Gosh, Lord. But yeah.
2002. So. Holy shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing webcasting for 20 goddamn years, guys.
Yeah, I know. You're old.
Shut up. What are you, my son?
Nope.
That's what he says to me all the time. Yeah, but Dad, you're old. And I'm like, shut up or I'll hit you. I don't care you're 6'4" and 250 pounds.
He probably wouldn't even notice if you did.
No, I'd hit him. He just like, is there a mosquito around here?
Yeah, exactly.
Owen, in case you're listening, love you, son.
But now brings up, what does the future hold for WWE with Vince McMahon gone? Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan are the co-CEOs. Stephanie is the chairwoman of the WWE. Vince McMahon still owns the company with his stock, but, you know, not sure.
That's not going away until he dies.
Yeah, and who knows? So the only influence he has... Because people are like, well, you know, he's just going to get ideas fed to it. He's just going to feed ideas to Steph and Nick. No, Vince McMahon's only voting power control in the company. Hey, we want to sell to X. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's as far as his power goes at this stage. And it's like, okay, now we're moving on. It's a new era. People are like, they're going to continue, you know, with his, you know, his vision. They should.
Yeah, there are certain people out there who were very... unhappy with Stephanie on Friday night.
Why?
Leading the thank you Vince chants.
Why? They were doing it without her.
Yeah, I know they did it before she got them to do it. Yeah. I'm going to name drop Rock. And I know you've read some of these postings on Facebook, but Evan Ginsberg has such a hard on against Vince. It's almost pornographic.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Evan Ginsberg? Okay. Well, Go find him on Facebook.
Nah, I'm good.
He just runs everything WWE into the ground.
Not anyone.
Anybody who likes WWE is a mark is a WWE mark.
Wow, I've never heard that before. Yeah. So this is a very original take.
He's one of the leaders of that one. So.
Very original take.
And I've never understood. If you like wrestling, you like wrestling. If it's good wrestling, you're going to watch it. Don't have to like be into solidly into the camp of WWE or solidly exclusively into the camp of AEW or solidly exclusively into the camp of whatever Ring of Honor winds up being.
That's a story for another day.
Yeah. But you like how I phrase that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, like if you like good wrestling, channel flip, for Christ's sake, you're going to see stuff you like on all of it. Not all of it is shit compared to what somebody's ideal is. And if you listen to what other people are saying and heed those words exclusively, you're goddamn sheeple. Make up your own mind. Make up your own decision. Don't hate something because somebody else says it sucks. Go find out for yourself. At the end of the day, that's the bottom line. Sorry, Steve.
It is. And like, if you want to criticize something that someone else is doing, doesn't make you a mark for the other thing. You can criticize both.
Oh, yeah. We've never criticized shit on this webcast in 20 years.
God forbid you criticize a bad segment on Dynamite.
Or Rampage in general.
Or Rampage.
I've seen bad segments on Dynamite and Rampage.
It's all a bunch this week. And a bad finish of a main event. That's beside the point.
I've noticed AEW's booking is suffering.
Yeah.
Which is something that could be very interesting coming out of this, that I think a lot of people, when you want to talk about, you know, WWE creative, and they're like, oh, this can possibly shake things up. You're right. And what's going to happen if all of a sudden Tony needs to start booking because WWE is putting on, you know, good programming and can start to pull some of those viewers away because people are just shimmying out of a shark cage that someone couldn't unlock, or there's not, you know, nonsensical booking going on.
You know, as far as booking and shit goes, when I watch wrestling, I watch for the workers in the ring. I don't watch for storylines or surprise whatevers. Like Friday night, we hear Brock Lesnar has walked out of SmackDown. Allegedly saying if Vince is gone, I'm gone. And allegedly they spent the entire night reaching out to Brock to have him come back and guarantee whatever was guaranteed previously for his character and his run in WWE. And you know after hearing that he's not going to show up and realizing that's he actually did walk out to have him finish the show. It was a surprise. It was a bit of a pop.
And they mentioned during his entrance, no one thought he was going to be there, even though he was promised to be there, because he did leave. Factually, he left around right after the announcement. He came back around 8:30.
And the announcement was about 4 p.m. Eastern, wasn't it?
When the press release went out, yeah. So, and then he left, I think, right after that? Or right after...
I saw the time like 4:20 p.m. or 4:30 or something like that.
Maybe. I thought it was right after the Zoom call, the Zoom meeting, the all-talent Zoom meeting. I think that's when he left, after that.
And he left because he figured Vince got forced out.
Yeah, because that's what happened. let's be real.
Okay, he kind of was.
He kind of was. But the decision was made a week ago that this was all going to go down, that this was in the works. So there's that.
But I think kind of touching on what you were referencing before, what are some of the changes that could come? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be drastic. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to get, you know, NXT Black and Gold on mainstream TV and, you know, Ricochet is all of a sudden going to get pushed into the main event picture and, you know, all of these things that people are putting out there. You know, Austin Theory is going to get stripped of the Money in the Bank contract. It's like, no, this is not.
Okay, that one I hope does happen.
Why
though? They're finally pushing a young star. Everyone's been bitching and moaning that no one is being made in WWE, and they do it with a young talent, and everyone instantly goes, no, I don't want it.
I don't want him.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. It's like, you're not pushing
that's
the
what,
right
that's
young
what they're
guy.
Saying. Yeah, but no, you see, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm talking as a booker. I want him. I want a storyline where he loses that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, that's fine if that's what you want.
And that breaks down to my point about bitching about wrestling altogether. It's not what you want individually as a single person. I mean, that riff that Triple H cut several years ago in the ring. about they're not doing what he wants them to do. So he's going to go onto the internet and if they're not careful, then he's going to cancel his WWE subscription to the network.
Poor Mark.
You remember that one?
Yeah. Poor Mark.
Yeah, and that was absolutely hilarious.
It was.
The problem is, people didn't see the humor in it because they didn't get the joke.
No, everyone just brings it up. Oh, when he said that, then they had like 6 million viewers, and now they have 2. That's the meme now with it. Anyway, things will change over time.
Not before SummerSlam. We're not gonna see anything radical before SummerSlam.
That was the other thing. It's like people all of a sudden think that, you know, Vince McMahon steps down and all of a sudden SummerSlam's going to become like AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins versus Matt Riddle for the Universal Championship because, you know, there's new creative there. And it's like, no, it's not going to happen like that. Again, this is going to be slow. It's going to be gradual. Will you start to see maybe some guys get pushed that might not have been before? Sure. Might you see some signings that you didn't think was going to happen again? Possibly. But at the same time, it doesn't also mean that everyone who got released is instantly signed because there were reasons that they were released before. And it's not going to automatically change just because Vince left. There are other factors at play.
And if those people are hot commodities, why aren't they under contract elsewhere?
You also have to take into account the fact that Stephanie is her father's daughter.
Yeah, she has ideas. This is the dream job she's always wanted, but she can't do it in 24 hours. She can't do it in 3 months. It's going to take time. They will get there. We will see different things and a different vision and changes happen.
But any changes coming through the WWE will start tomorrow, but they're going to be very subtle, and this is going to be a slow rollover, a very slow rollover. Again, nothing is set in stone. However, things are outlined in professional wrestling shows. Things are outlined 6 to 12 months in advance.
You also have to remember, there are still people working for that company who were Vince McMahon's people.
Stooges.
I was going to just say Kevin Dunn, because it's his vision of television.
Kevin Dunn's an idiot. Anyway.
He could be, like, once those people get replaced and new people are brought in, you can see a different actual vision. But that's not, you cannot just fire Kevin Dunn and replace him with somebody. You need to find the replacement first.
I have a suggestion for that.
Okay.
They have him on payroll already.
Okay.
He has experience producing TV with another company.
Who?
Mr. Borash.
Jeremy Borash has never produced television. He's never been an executive producer of television. He's produced segments, but he's never been a director.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is...
Only if he's not in charge of the pocketbook.
But that's a creative standpoint. Visually, like, the director of the show would need to change if you want to have cameras differently and things like that. You have to bring different people in every department. You can train JB, yeah. But I don't think JB would want to be the director of the show. He would probably want to contribute to show, but I don't think he would want to be the one directing the show.
Tell me something. What do you guys think about the WWE Women's Division and how that's being run?
Can always be better.
It's had its good moments and its bad moments.
Who's the road agent for the women?
TJ. But that won't affect anything.
No, he has higher powers to answer to. But what he has done for the women in WWE is absolutely astounding. It's great. It's fantastic.
In ring, the women are fine. It's usage of is the.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the stuff that he wants to do that gets through, that is agreed to, is great. He's got a lot of stuff that, of course, gets vetoed or overruled. But a young fellow like him could only benefit the project if his role was expanded a little bit.
It could. But look, right? Think about who runs WWE at the moment. Now that Vince McMahon's gone, we got Bruce Pritchard,
yep.
Head of creative. Jeff Jarrett is the guy who's in charge of live events now.
I'm okay with Jeff Jarrett being an on-screen talent.
But he's not going to be. He's a senior vice president of live events.
I'm not really that comfortable with him running the live events.
Why? He could book buildings.
Yeah.
He'll be fine booking buildings. He likes booking his stadiums. He'll be fine. It's just weird. It's Bruce Pritchard, Jeff Jarrett, Triple H. It's an odd group that now that Vince is gone. even before Vince was gone, they all have power. It's an interesting scenario. But yeah, we're going to see change. It's again, not rapid change.
And it's so sure I guess it's unofficial that Vince will be the first Hall of Fame inductee for 2023.
I would assume so. It has to be. I was telling Lindsay the other night, that has to be a thing. He has to get his goodbye before he can't, because he's going to be 77.
I was going to say, that was the lead-off of the retirement message, was, I'm 77.
Jeff can fall back on beating up employees' fathers in the parking lots. True, which he has, and leading to a match next Sunday that everyone is going to look forward to watching. Woo.
Boy, I love how you become really wooden. When you say stuff like that,
you're welcome.
That event, like, is such
you're reading a script and you're reading that script at gunpoint.
Because aren't we excited to see Ric Flair's last match? Woo!
No, that's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I will say that, because I said this Thursday. Go out and buy Ric Flair's last match. Go watch the entire thing, because the entire card, top to bottom, is going to be really, really good. The main event's not going to be good, but the rest of the show will be really, really good. If you want really good wrestling, buy the show. The main event's not going to be good. But that's next Sunday. There's a show Saturday we need to talk about, where all the creative changes and all the plans will be blown up, and we're going to have this amazing card, because...
Whoa! No, we're gonna go with what we've been planning on for the last
3 months,
6 months.
Yeah, we're gonna go with that. Which means we're playing pick 'em. You can tweet at Wild Talk Radio. Go to facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Leave your picks probably later in the week, because I mean, World Wrestling Entertainment. Now that I've planned ahead, they're gonna add more matches. So let's talk about it. SummerSlam, Logan Paul, The Miz. Thoughts and opinions.
I don't like Logan Paul.
Okay.
I don't care about Logan Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz is the guy that you love to hate. So, he plays his role perfectly. And in playing his role perfectly, I see him doing the job for Logan Paul.
I mean, that's what Miz is good at. He's the best person to put in the ring with somebody like Logan Paul in this situation. Because Miz is one of the most reliable people in the company.
Absolutely. I love to hate The Miz. Mm-hmm. I really do. And when I say that, a smart mark gets it. Just a regular person. Well, if you love to hate this guy, then why do you bother watching his matches and blah, 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 blah. If that's your thought process, when I say I love to hate The Miz, then you know nothing. Rock, what do I mean when I say I love to hate The Miz?
It means Miz is doing his damn job.
Exactly.
It's like when you love to hate a villain in any TV show or movie, they're doing their job correctly.
And he's damn good at what he does. I hate to admit it.
He's really good at what he does. And going back to it, he's a very safe worker, which means when Logan Paul gets in the ring, he's not going to get hurt.
No, it means if Logan Paul gets hurt in the ring,
it's
going to be Logan Paul's goddamn fault.
Yeah,
not The Miz.
It won't be The Miz.
Yeah. The Miz ain't Goldberg. Oh, he said it.
Who did Goldberg ever injure?
Everybody he worked against. Anyway, including himself. He's the only wrestler I know of gave himself a goddamn concussion.
No, the ring post gave him the concussion.
No, the door.
That too.
It's the door.
It may have been multiple things.
Listen,
he may
the
have been
door,
fighting every inanimate object.
Yeah, the door, the floor, the ring post would not have given him a concussion if he wasn't dumb enough to hit it in the first place. Or bad enough in his moves.
When it comes to this, I know Tim led off with this. Not a lot of people like Logan Paul. As a person, as a personality, I would say I really don't care for him.
I cannot stand either of the Paul brothers.
But here's the thing. There are two things that the Paul brothers will bring about. One, people will want to watch them. Why? Because they have huge followings on social media and elsewhere. Two, a lot of people will want to watch them get their ass kicked. So even if you're not a fan, you may tune in just to see if someone beats the high holy hell out of him. It's the same reason why his brother Jake gets a lot of people watching his boxing matches / I don't think he has MMA fights, but, you know, any of those kind of fights that he's involved in, people will want to tune in because they want to see, is this the one where he gets his bell rung?
Yeah.
And you can cheer it. This match is big, is the same thing for wrestling fans. It's the only time I think The Miz will possibly be cheered for something like this. Because people, as much as Logan is going to be the face in this situation, a lot of people are going to watch his ass get kicked.
Yeah, The Miz is going to get his, for one of the very few times in that ring, Miz is going to get as many cheers as he's going to get boos.
So who wins?
It's probably going to rival his Mania fight with John Cena.
Again, who wins?
I'm picking Paul.
Brent?
I've got to go Logan Paul here. Miz and him got the win in the tag team match, but it was basically The Miz got the win there. This is the time when The Miz gives back and puts Paul over.
Riddle takes on Seth Rollins.
After that wrestling match, I saw Riddle take on Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I am really looking forward to this match.
I'm going to cut you off.
I was never a fan of Riddle, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. Until I saw what he was capable of against Roman Reigns.
I'm going to cut you off right quick before you continue. Casey has Logan Paul. Just so you write that down, Brent.
Thank you.
I forgot the Paul pick.
Yeah, don't forget Casey's pick.
Yeah, I went back over Skype. He sent me the picks.
Casey's on an airplane, by the way. That's why he's not here tonight, guys.
We mentioned that at the top of the show.
He's flying someplace.
He didn't tell us where. He's just flying. Maybe he's flying the plane. I don't know.
Casey flying the plane will have another Air Atlantic disaster.
Anyway, back to Riddle and Rollins.
You've never seen him take dives off the top of the ring. Trust me, I have.
So, Tim, you're a fan of Riddle now.
I'm not saying I'm a fan of Riddle. I've got respect for him now.
Sounds like you're a fan then.
That's a better way of putting it than saying, oh, I'm a fan of Riddle. I've got more respect for him than I ever did, which is still not a shit ton, but... you know, I'm giving him his due, and I'm expecting to see this match actually being a crowd grabber.
It's a crowd grabber.
Crowd grabber. Pay attention.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
I don't make fun of your weird accent. Don't make fun of mine.
Yeah, this match on paper, a lot of people when they look at this kind of go, okay, Riddle versus Seth. It'll probably be all right with the build they've also had to it. I'm really looking forward to this because Seth has kind of made it personal attacking Riddle at all these opportunities. Honestly, whoever wins this is probably in line to get a future shot with Roman. I know that Riddle technically can't, but if someone else gets the title, Riddle will be up there as a main event contender. And Seth has just done great work at being the just insufferable person on the roster right now. He just can't stand having other people remotely close to the limelight. And he plays it so very well. Plus, they're both just hella good workers. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing what Riddle can do with Seth. And honestly, how Riddle is going to try and top the Seth put RKO that happened at Mania a couple years ago.
So who wins?
With all of this being said, I'm picking Seth.
This one's hard for me. Only because Seth ate all of those losses from Cody. And I feel like, not that he needs a win, but a win would help here. I think Riddle, without Randy... right now, if kind of they're trying to see where he fits, they're trying to see what they can do with him, and a win over Seth again would also help him. But I think in this case, Seth needs it to stay atop, still continue to be, you know, that kind of one heel on Raw.
So who's your pick?
So you know what? Just to be different, I'll go Riddle here. Even though I just talked up Rollins, but I'll be a little bit different. I'll go against him and I'll pick Riddle.
Okay, so now I can ask you guys this question. When was the last time Seth Rollins won a pay-per-view premium live event match via pinfall or submission?
Oh, shit. That was in 2021, wasn't it?
Possibly.
That's all I got.
You got a year. You don't have a month. Can you figure out a month?
November.
Okay, that's your guess. I should clarify a singles win, because November was Survivor Series, and that's one thing. Talk about an actual win, singles win.
The October.
Okay. Brian, do you have a guess?
I'm thinking.
Just throw something out at random, because I want to move on.
Hurry up.
I'm trying to think of all the pay-per-views. Give me a goddamn break.
Oh, just say a month.
January.
January of this year?
Yeah.
Okay. January of this year, he won via disqualification over Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's right. Fuck.
His last win on pay-per-view premium live event was June 20th, 2021 at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, shit.
When he beat Cesaro. Because remember...
He beat a world champion.
He beat a world champion, yeah. But he's lost everything against Edge. He lost everything against Cody. He's lost a lot along the way. Just one of the,
I mean, he may win on TV, but...
But on pay-per-view premium live event...
Yeah, I know.
Where the big money... He has not won a lot lately. And as a heel, that's usually the case. Anyway, SmackDown Women's Titles on the line. Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey.
Oh, Kayshi's pick?
Oh, Kayshi had Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Just gotta remind me to look over into the window. It's because it's covered by the card.
I will just say it at the end of everyone.
Yeah.
And Kayshi?
Yep. Because, yeah, the window's covered. Yeah.
The funny thing about this feud, WWE is working to really make this feel like a fight that is more than what most people expect.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is, if you said Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan, I think a lot of people will go, Ronda is taking a body part away from that match very easily. Because, no offense, Liv is probably 110 pounds soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they're doing a good job of having Liv being kind of the plucky baby face. I mean, they're essentially both faces in this respect. And it's more a respect match than, you know, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still one of those things of they're making Liv seem like, yeah, okay, she is standing up to Ronda. Whereas, you know, we've seen in the past, like, when Alexa Bliss has faced Ronda, it's almost been like, run for your life. And so when it comes to that, I'm kind of like, I kind of want to see, you know, plucky Liv take on Ronda. I want to see, I mean, Ronda's probably going to use a lot of her judo and her, you know, size advantage with Liv, but Liv can use her speed and also, you know, take the fact that Ronda may be overestimating her.
I'm still stuck on what you said, size advantage. Ronda doesn't really seem all that much bigger than Liv.
It's not like it was when it was Alexa and Ronda.
True, but it's still...
From a character standpoint, she's the underdog in the whole situation. Ronda Rousey should just wipe the floor with her. That should be the thing. I think that's more of the example.
That's what should be expected.
Yeah.
But they're kind of subverting that a little bit as well, which is nice to see, because it's actually making you go, okay, maybe this match will, you know, be an investment, as opposed to, oh, Ronda's facing Liv. Okay, lol, Ronda wins, put the belt on her, let's move on. As we've seen in the past when Ronda has faced people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm willing to give this one a chance. I want to see how this plays out. I want to see what Liv does in her first real defense, because you gave her the money in the bank. You had her cash in that night, which was showed how smart of a character she was with, yeah, Ronda was injured, Liv went out there, and then even that cash in match was kind of like she got put in that ankle lock and you're going, oh no, please don't tell me they're gonna have her tap here. And she ultimately came out of it and won, and you were like, okay, cool, you know, they made a star. Now it's okay, what is this moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm interested to see. It's like, is this a Nikki A.S.H. where it's kind of like, okay, yeah, she won the belt, but now it's, we didn't really know what we were going to do with her. And it's kind of, she's holding the belt warm for something else. Or is it going to be, no, Liv can carry things. And I think especially moving her to SmackDown lets her grow a little bit, because she's not under Becky and Bianca and some of the other stars that are on Raw that may have kept her at a certain spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way to put it.
Definitely Liv is a better wrestler than Nikki.
Mm.
On WWE television.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let me extend my...
Yeah, just a little bit on that one. Yeah, yeah.
My thing. Mm-hmm. In real life, Nikki's a hell of a wrestler. She's fantastic in that ring. But the WWE characters, Liv is a better wrestler. They've been pushing her like crazy. They didn't do that with Nikki. They know Liv is a big draw. If she loses to Ronda next Saturday night, how badly does that hurt her? That's kind of a difficult one to say, really, depending on how they book the match. I'm going to tell you my pick here and give you my qualifier. I think Liv is going to wind up retaining the title. But I don't think it's going to be because of a clean pin. And because that doesn't count against Pick'em, I'm not afraid to put it out there.
Brent, who you got?
I think right now you keep the belt on Liv. I think, again, you do something where she takes advantage of a situation in a smart way. Not as a heel, like, you know, grabbing tights or feet on the ropes. But I think she's going to exploit something in the match. She's going to get the win. And either Ronda gets pissed and we start to see that kind of turn happen, or Ronda realizes, like, shit, that was twice. And it's like, okay, she needs to start thinking through things better.
Mm-hmm.
Because with it, what we've seen within Ronda's, like, MMA career and in the WWE is she's relied on the fact that it's like, yeah, she's the, quote, baddest woman on the planet. And she's also, you know, essentially been the better athlete of a lot of people she's faced. I mean, some people might contend Charlotte, but we won't go into that right now. But just Ronda's relied on her athletic ability to win. But what happens if she gets outsmarted again? Is it she gets frustrated, or is it like she realizes she needs to step up that part of her game? And so she starts to work on that. And that could be something that takes her out of the championship picture while she works on it and puts some new people in there. I think Liv holding the belt opens up a lot more opportunities than Ronda. I think if Ronda gets the belt, it's very much like Charlotte holding it, where it's like, okay, you have the glass ceiling, and then who is ready to break through that? Whereas with Liv, I think it's a lot more kind of open challengers. And I think what would be interesting is, let's say Ronda loses to Liv, there's another person who's very much like Ronda on that roster that would be, I think, willing to step up to take that shot and could be a little more vicious in that role, which would play well against Liv as a face. And I don't think people would complain possibly getting Morgan Baszler.
That's something you do. As much as, like, Shane, I don't think that's something you do. So who'd you go with?
I went with Morgan.
You went with Liv.
Tim went with Liv.
Casey went with Ronda.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Ronda has to win the title. It just, Ronda wins the match.
You and your clarifiers. Anyway.
I'm just saying, that's how Pick'em works.
Taking a way out. Tag team titles on the line. Special referee is Jeff Jarrett. It's the Uso Street Profits. Go.
He really want this match. After what we saw a couple weeks ago.
After any interaction.
I'm just drooling in anticipation of what's going on. What kind of a factor is Jeff Jarrett going to be?
Ticket sales, because it's in Nashville.
There you go.
Fair. This is gonna be interesting because we've already seen what the guys can do. This is kind of a do-good in two ways. First, we finally get the stipulation match between these two, which was supposed to happen at the last pay-per-view.
And for some reason didn't.
But that's neither here nor there. But it's also, yeah, because the referee screwed up, you need that, you know, in storyline purposes, you need a special referee. You know, one that I guess knows what to look for better. And if you're going to do that, you might as well bring in the King of the Mountain. Although that's technically for the other company.
Potato, potato.
Anyway, whatever. Jeff is out there. I think him being in this match and being kind of the special guest referee could really open the door for possibly the Usos dropping the belts. It could give them an explanation or a reason out for why they lost. Oh, we would have won had it not been for, you know, management essentially screwing us. But as we've talked about, as I brought up before, when it comes to the Usos, I really want to see part of the Bloodline lose a title and how that changes the dynamic in that group. Because if everyone has the gold there and you're just running roughshod, yeah, you're all powerful. But what happens when someone loses? We see a little bit of it with Gunther and Kaiser. Like, when Kaiser loses, that doesn't look well on the lead. And so what does he do? He starts to assert his dominance. He starts to assert himself on that group or on that lesser party to be like, you know, you fall in line. And I want to see what happens with the Usos, because remember, they were all brought in essentially under duress into the Bloodline. Now they've accepted the roles. But what happens if Roman starts to really kind of assert that dominance again? Are they going to start to challenge it and be like, you know, you only have this because we come out to help you, and maybe start to see some chinks in that armor?
So who wins?
I want to say the profits here because I think you can hold off on the teased split that we've heard about. Only because if they split up the profits, then Rock, I've told you this. That's the end of Angelo Dawkins, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, he's Marty Jannetty.
That's like Montez Ford is the personality. He's the moveset. He's everything that people really love about the Street Profits. No offense. If you take away Montez Ford, I'm willing to bet half that crowd can't pick Angelo Dawkins out of a lineup because there's nothing really special about him. And it sounds horrible to say, but like when you look at his moveset, you're like, yeah, that's, you know, second tag team wrestler. Whereas Montez, you watch him and you're like, oh yeah, he's the guy that can jump over the ring post. He's the guy that can hit a frog splash that goes through the hole in whatever stadium he's in. It sets him apart. Dawkins doesn't really have that. And I think if you split them up, yeah, he's Tucker. And if anyone wonders what happened to Tucker, exactly. But I want to pick the Street Profits to win here only because I want to see what happens if the Usos lose. And I think that presents a lot of kind of interesting dynamics moving forward because let's say, you know, do they start to interfere with Roman more to have to prove themselves? Or do they start to go, no, Us, we're good. You need to, you know, win this on your own if you're starting to give us shit.
Tim?
WWE has a habit of breaking up tag teams so they can send one of them up the charts as a solo. A couple of times they have teased a split and that split has never happened and the tag team has gone on to greater heights as a tag team. I would like to think that this is what they're thinking with the Street Profits.
Can I interject really quick?
What?
Old habits just retired.
I mean,
continue.
That is a fair point.
So what I'm hoping for might come true. I'm picking the Street Profits. I think it's time.
Casey has the Usos.
Of course he
Damn
does.
Casey, business as usual. My ass.
U.S. title. Lashley in Theory.
I'm going to be honest with this one. Theory in theory, no pun intended. He has bigger things on his plate with that briefcase. He doesn't need the U.S. Championship anymore. When it comes to this match, yeah, I would have Bobby win. In my opinion, it's not really a question. Like I said, Theory can always cash in and get that world title shot. And it wouldn't hurt. If he loses this match, he still has that possible world title shot just lingering. Putting the U.S. title on him, what does that do?
Buggers up Bobby is what it does.
It kills that face push that Bobby's been working with right now.
Yep. So I expect this to be a half squash with a couple of comebacks and the ultimate squasher winning.
So just
ultimately.
I guess just go around the thing, Lashley, Lashley.
What did you just say?
Go around the table, Lashley, Lashley. That's what we're going with?
Yeah, essentially.
It's my man, Bobby Lashley.
I'm not expecting great things from this match.
Casey won with Lashley as well. All right, move on. Pat McAfee, Happy Corbin.
Corbin is the guy I love to hate, and that's because he does his job.
This match is going to be a train wreck in a bad way.
I understand. I like that they're playing up the past history with these guys being on the Colts together. I think, what, roommates even?
I don't remember.
Former teammates.
Yeah, at least teammates. I thought it said at one point they even were roommates at, like, camp and stuff. If that's the case, more power to them for finding and hyping that part.
And then pulling this trigger.
Yeah. But honestly, Pat McAfee is one of those kinds of people when it's like, okay, they announce that he's going to wrestle. I go, okay, I kind of want to see this because of what we've seen in the past already.
Mm-hmm.
His match with Adam Cole, which was, I think, way better than anyone thought it should have been at that point. You know, him versus Theory, again, probably better than a lot of people thought it could/should have been. We've seen that Pat is athletic. We've seen that he is, you know, he takes wrestling seriously. He wants to perform. He wants to take bumps.
An entertainer.
Yeah, he's entertaining as hell, and he also understands what it takes to be in the ring because he's been a fan for so long. As they said during the Theory and, you know, McMahon lead up, this is what he wanted. He wanted a match at WrestleMania. He wanted to be, you know, a superstar. And so he's getting these chances in these big spots. And Corbin is someone that you can put in there, and when he needs to get heat, he'll get heat on McAfee. And the fans will absolutely hate him for it. But when he needs to sell, he's going to sell, and he's going to make McAfee look good.
Who wins?
I'm going to go Pat here.
Tim?
If Happy Corbin wins, they've got, I think, more room for a continuing storyline.
I think, just personally speaking, I think if Happy Corbin wins, it comes across much in the same way of like him beating Kurt Angle, which really leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. As much as you would be like, you know, this is a story that can move forward, I don't think people want this to move forward. I think they want to see Pat get the win and be like, okay, we're done with this.
Yeah, you would think that, but I'm just seeing it differently from a behind-the-scenes point of view, not from the fans' point of view. I'm going to give the win to Corbin.
Casey gives it to Pat McAfee.
All right, Casey.
Raw Women's Title, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch.
These two are going to beat the high holy hell out of each other, and I'm here for it. I like crazy Becky.
Unhinged is a better way of describing it.
But yeah,
Ever since she lost the title, she's been, air quotes, unhinged.
Well, yeah, it's because she's been the man for 2 years. She was the, at one point, she was the entire face of the company. She was that over.
Mm-hmm.
They put her in the first ever women's main event of a WrestleMania. And as we talked about before, they tried to turn her heel and the fans went, nope.
Nope.
And so they just had to run with it. And boy, did they run with it. And she was able to carry that forward and carry the company. And I mean, if it weren't for pregnancy, she still probably would have had a good lengthy bit more of a run.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't know you had more.
Well, it's all good.
I'm thinking that these two women are going to do their damnedest to top the match that Bianca had with Sasha. And if they don't do it, they're going to come damn close.
I mean,
hmm?
They have the WrestleMania match that was pretty good.
So.
Okay, I have an idea. This is so wrong. What if Bianca wins this match in like 20 seconds?
Boy, howdy, you just read the internet because the internet's been saying that for 2 weeks.
I haven't even seen that, but that would just...
Yeah, that's been all over the internet, and it's just like, oh, what if this happens? You know, no. Just,
I know.
No.
No, I want to see a good 15 to 25 minute fight between these two. I think they both can do it. I think they can carry it.
This has the potential to be the best match on the show.
Yeah, these two have the ability of going out there wrestling and going up to any of the guys and go, beat that shit. And walk away.
Does that mean they're going to open the pay-per-view with this match?
No.
They bloody could, and you know it.
They could. I think you either open it with like a Riddle Rollins or Lashley Theory.
No, you do not open this show with Lashley Theory. Oh, hell no. Not SummerSlam.
It'd be like an old SummerSlam.
No.
So who wins?
Oh, I'm picking Bianca to retain.
Brant?
Yeah. Yeah, Bianca's reign continues. Becky gets even further unhinged. She finally got the title shot that she wanted, and you're going to see her pull out every stop that she can to try and win, but this is where Becky will lose, and it just further frustrates her of, like, what do I have to do to win here? And possibly this is where you see the reemergence return of someone to set up Bianca's next feud.
Casey went with Bianca.
I love how he elaborates on shit in his texts.
Yeah, no, he usually does, but... These are just straightforward. Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Last man standing. The last time ever.
We think.
Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Please, for the love of God, do not involve handcuffs in this match. We know that Paul does not know how to work them. I mean, they got Brock back. That was something.
I did get Brock back, yes. I mean, is there really much to say about this match other than we've seen it? It's going to be good. It'll be fun.
It's going to be two hosses beating the hell out of each other. And especially
don't expect a 5-star highlight reel match.
No. And I mean, you're going to see impact move after impact move. You're going to see people interfering because of course you will in a last man standing match. They'll remind you that it is no disqualification. So we'll get the run-ins. We'll get all of that happening. But yeah, I mean, we've seen this match a couple of times as much as people want to harp on it. But when it comes to a big show like this, yeah, you need a big headliner. And that's what this match is two giant hosses fighting for the one prize.
Especially when your other headliners got hurt.
Yeah, could have been Cody in this spot, but, well.
Could have been Randy in this spot.
Yeah, it could have been Randy, but,
And they're saving Drew. They're saving Drew, rightfully so.
And then, so the Shillelagh match is on SmackDown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which Drew should win, and then he'll go to the castle and...
Clash at the castle.
Mm-hmm. Get his title shot.
And try and bring about the awful idea that you are posturing out there.
You know, it's good ideas.
You always want chaos.
Who doesn't? Things are boring without chaos, Brent. Roman win?
Oh, I'm picking Roman to retain.
Brent?
Yeah, make it 2 years officially.
Almost 2 years.
He technically won it at a SummerSlam 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I was in... No, he won it at not SummerSlam.
Oh, that's right. He didn't... He came back at SummerSlam.
Whatever the September show was. Backlash? Extreme Rules?
Extreme. It's Extreme Rules, because Backlash is the one after Mania. Remember? WrestleMania Backlash?
Yeah, I understand that, but Backlash was also in September once. When they first brought it back. So, Casey also picks Roman Reigns.
I just see WWE wanting Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre for the Unified Championship.
At the castle also is Payback.
Oh, Payback.
It's Payback.
Yeah, Reigns, Drew, in UK for the first time with a major pay-per-view in, what, 20 years?
Something like that.
30 years for an actual major pay-per-view? 30 years? Because Insurrection and whatever, there weren't major pay-per-views.
True.
SummerSlam 92 was the last major pay-per-view. There you go. That'd be Pick'em. You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and you can make your picks and all the fun to all the fun things that way.
You can tweet them to us as well.
At Wild Talk Radio. That's the way to handle things and do things and what have yous. But that's our show.
And what have yous. That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for the preview and pick'em portion of WTR Sunday night. Yeah, we want you playing pick'em, so do it. And you've been told where to post your picks. Leading up into SummerSlam next Saturday night. We kick it off tomorrow night with WWE Raw, followed by the post show.
The Raw post show is live this Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Once Monday Night Raw ends, we're live.
Yeah, and of course, more SummerSlam talk on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with multi-time, multi-award-winning, wonderful Lindsay Ward. And Rock.
We'll have Thursday night to talk about the whole Vince thing and the SummerSlam thing, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, Episode 8, which is available now, which we record the show. It's like 90, the high for the day was like 95. It was the Christmas episode.
Alright, there you go.
Kind of don't want to watch a Christmas episode in heat. Just...
Okay.
Just point it that one out.
6 white boomers, no white boomers.
Anyway, that's the Rock Extra Review. New episode available this week at some point.
Yeah. And, of course, don't forget the creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite shop.
Use creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop hold on. I'm going to kill the music because we're going to. I made a fancy thing we played it Thursday. I'm going to play it now before we continue the outro because. Brett will like this one.
Did you know you can use creator code ROCK and sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Snow cone, icy.
I kind of had the urge to jump up and down and flash my arm up and down.
It's kind of a dance. Kids game though. There's thrusting. Anyway, it's a kids game. Use the code. Use the code and buy the things and stuff.
And there you go. And, of course, don't forget Saturday night, midnight issue. We're close to get to another edition of the Wild, Wacky, the Unusual, the Fans of the Hulk TV Radio.
Okay. Normally, that's the case. But Tim, Tim.
What?
What's Saturday?
What's Saturday? It's SummerSlam.
So, run SummerSlam ends. The Rack Extra will be live to review it all, so there's no Fortnite or CB Radio. It's the Rack Extra Review SummerSlam following SummerSlam.
But it's supposed to be on Sunday.
Well, it's not. Which means you guys have 24 hours to watch a show and then review it next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Just saying. Anyway, yeah, so that's it. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Don't forget to follow us all on the socials, because we're on the socials. First and foremost is the website on social media.
At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Number gets WTR tonight on the Facebook and the Twitters. Oh, by the way, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. Brent's going to have more picks to put down because we're simulating picks for SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be... They're going to be starting... Starting tomorrow, be 2 a day leading up to SummerSlam.
Unless more matches get added.
Unless more. That's why I'm giving myself a window for Saturday. There could be extras because I have Monday. There's going to be enough. So I believe starting tomorrow. Yeah. Do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool.
Because I've planned ahead and they're all. I just have to edit them and put them together. But we have stuff. Yeah. So it's youtube.com/Rock Radio Show for all that stuff.
Planning ahead is so weird.
I know. I was getting ahead of things today.
My goodness. Of course, follow me on the Twitter machine at Playing Swarms. You'll be glad you did. Brent's on there.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. You can also follow my fantasy teammate, the WTR Wheel, on Twitter if you want to. The Wheel is already making their presence known. Not just for fantasy, but for other things.
The Wheel is embarrassing you.
The Wheel's out for blood this season, let me tell you.
Absolutely. First time I've ever seen him make picks like that. Anyway, yeah. He's not here tonight, but he's on Twitter. Follow Keishi Matsunaga at Kyle Driver. That's like Pile Driver, but with a K.
Also, search him out on Redbubble. Search for Kyle Driver. Links in the descriptions on the Twitters and the Instagrams.
Yeah, man. And, of course, that's going to do it for us. Enjoy SummerSlam. Tune in next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time for our review edition, SummerSlam review, of WrestleTalk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com.